It's that time again, and the doctor is in. Yeah, it's time once again for Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, and I'm glad you're joining us today. Yes, indeed. Hopefully, we now have a lot of our technical issues out of the way. And you may be asking, Dr. Bill, why are you sitting in front of a green screen right behind me there? Well, because I tried something in the video biz called Chroma Key. That's where you put a green screen behind you, and then you manipulate the video in your editor, and you add stuff. For instance, here's an example. Isn't that strange? But you notice how it's a little fuzzy around the edges of my back of my chair, and various other things are kind of odd looking. Yeah, let's get rid of that. Isn't it amazing that I have that power? Anyway, it didn't work out all that well. You see, I have the itch right here. I keep scratching it. It keeps itching. Anyway, calm down. You see, the problem is this. The green screen has to be evenly lit, perfectly evenly lit, and the color has to be exactly consistent across the entire plane of color for Chroma Key to work properly. And while I've tried my best to do that, it just didn't work out the way I wanted it to. Bummer. So, we'll just use this green screen for the background. For now. Believe me, I'm not going to leave it that way. I may go with a nice blue. Or perhaps a red. I don't know. I kind of lean toward blue. Anyway, next item of technical nonsense, and that's the audio. You see, I've been struggling with the audio for the podcast and the netcast. Remember, last week I decided that the podcast was going to be the audio and the netcast was going to be the video so that I could keep it straight. Well, here's the thing. And I know some of you say, why do you always say here's the thing? It's just one of those things I do. Anyway, here's the thing. The problem is this. The camera that I'm using to record both the audio and the video at the same time so that my lips will synchronize with my words. You kind of have to do that. Well, the camera has a built-in audio doohickey. And this little doohickey, you see, adjusts the volume up and down, trying to compensate for any differences in volume, which kind of defeats the purpose of trying to set it manually. And I looked in my manual. Actually broke down and read the manual. That's pretty bad. Anyway, I read the manual, and there wasn't any way to turn off the automatic sound doohickeyfication. So, which, by the way, that's a word I made up, just in case you're wondering. If you go look at doohickeyfication in Wikipedia, it ain't going to be there. Unless somebody puts it there, and just so they can point it to me and say, see, look, it's in there, because they put it in there, because anybody can edit Wikipedia. But I digress. Let's go back to what we were talking about. What we were talking about is that I'm trying to work out the various technical issues. The background, the video, the lighting, light over here, light over there, light overhead, lots of light. Yeah. Even the light saturation, the white balance, you see. Last week, I set it for outdoor, which, of course, you would think, well, Dr. Bill, that's dumb. You're indoors. Yes, I know, but I was kind of hoping that it would give me a nice, warm tone, and it did. I looked red. So I've got it set for indoor now, and given that I'm indoors and under indoor lighting, probably that will work out okay. In the first podcast, the color was the best of all the various podcasts I've done, or netcast, I should say, since it's video. However, it fluctuated. It kind of went... And so I decided, okay, it needs to be set in a unique position, either outdoor or indoor. So this week I'm trying it indoor. We'll see how that goes, although the greenness of the background may throw it off. Who knows? You know, it's just, it's a work in progress is what it boils down to. All right, enough of all of that. Let's talk about what we're going to talk about, which is that we are a litigious society. Now, that's a fancy way of saying we sue each other a lot. Yes. And not me. I don't sue people. I mean, I just kind of deal with things as they happen. But there's been an email that's been floating around the internet about the 2006 Stella Award nominations, and our winners, I guess it is. Yes, winners. And some people claim that it's bogus. And it may be. However, I like to think that it's real. Because geek culture is weird and odd. And one must believe the oddness that is out there. Yes, somebody has to. So whether you believe it or not, we're going to talk a little bit about the Stella Awards. Now, the Stella Awards are named from 81-year-old Stella Liebeck, who spilled extremely hot coffee on herself and then successfully sued McDonald's in New Mexico. Her case was that the coffee was too hot. Now, had the coffee not been hot, she might have sued them because it wasn't hot enough. But because it was too hot, and she spilled it on herself. Now, think with me here. She spilled it on herself. They handed her the coffee, and then she proceeded to spill it on herself. The worker didn't do it. The store didn't do it. She did it. And then the coffee being hot, and of course it's marked hot coffee, burned her. And so she sued and won $1 million. That's dumb. And so in her honor, the awards are called the Stella Awards. So she is being forever immortalized for her stupidity with the Stella Awards. Gotta love that. I'm sure her descendants will be proud. At any rate, here are the winners. This is a tie. Fifth place, Catherine Robertson of Austin, Texas, was awarded $80,000 by a jury of her peers after breaking her ankle tripping over a toddler who was running inside a furniture store. Now, the owners of the store were surprised at the verdict, considering that the misbehaving toddler was Ms. Robertson's son. So she tripped over her own son and sued the store successfully for $80,000. Now, that was the fifth place tie. The other tying entry was 19-year-old Carl Truman, of Los Angeles won $74,000 in medical expenses when his neighbor ran over his hand with a Honda Accord. Now, think about this. They ran over his hand with their car. Mr. Truman apparently didn't notice that there was someone at the wheel of the car when he was trying to steal the neighbor's hubcaps. So he was trying to steal the hubcaps. The neighbors ran over his hand. He sues and wins. Yeah. All right. Here's another fifth place tie. Terrence Dickinson of Bristol, Pennsylvania, was leaving a house he had just finished robbing by way of the garage. He was not able to get the garage door to go up since the automatic garage door opener was malfunctioning. He couldn't re-enter the house because the door connecting the house and the garage locked when he pulled it shut. The family was on vacation, and Mr. Dickinson found himself locked in the garage for 8 days. He lived on a case of Pepsi that he found, a large bag of dried dog food. He sued the homeowner's insurance, claiming the situation caused him undue mental anguish. The jury agreed to the tune of $500,000. He was robbing the place. Okay. Fourth place. Jerry Williams of Little Rock, Arkansas, was awarded $14,500 in medical expenses after being bitten on the, shall we say, rear end by his next door neighbor's beagle. A beagle is not a big dog, but okay. The beagle was on a chain in its owner's fenced yard. Now, let's think about this. The beagle is a small dog. It's on a chain in the backyard. He was bit on the rear end. Yes. Gets weird, doesn't it? The award was less than salt because the jury felt the dog might have been just a little provoked by Mr. Williams, who had climbed over the fence into the yard and was shooting it repeatedly with a pellet gun. So he climbs into the neighbor's backyard, not his backyard. He shoots the dog with a pellet gun over and over, and somehow gets his rear end near the dog's mouth so that the dog could bite him. Somehow I get a picture of him waving his rear end at the dog and then getting bit. Yeah. Okay, a Philadelphia restaurant was ordered to pay Amber Carson of Lancaster, Pennsylvania, $113,500 after she slipped on a soft drink and broke her coccyx, which is a tailbone. That's that little tiny bone at the bottom of your rear end. The beverage was on the floor because Ms. Carson had thrown it at her boyfriend 30 seconds earlier in an argument. So she throws the drink. It hits the floor. 30 seconds, she slides and falls, and she sues and wins. Yes. Carol Walton, this is second place, of Claymont, Delaware, successfully sued the owner of a nightclub in a neighborhood city when she fell from the bathroom window to the floor and knocked out her two front teeth. This occurred while Mrs. Walton was trying to sneak through the window in the ladies' room to avoid paying the $3.50 cover charge. She was awarded $12,000 and dental expenses. And finally, number one, you're not going to believe this. This year's runaway winner was Mrs. Merv Grzinski of Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Ms. Grzinski purchased a brand new 32-foot Winnebago motorhome, one of them big honking motorhomes. On her first trip home from an OU football game, having driven onto the freeway, she set the cruise control at 70 miles an hour and calmly left the driver's seat to go into the back and make herself a sandwich. Not surprisingly, the RV left the freeway, crashed, and overturned. Ms. Grzinski sued Winnebago for not advising her in the owner's manual that she couldn't actually do this. The jury awarded her $1,750,000 and plus a new motorhome. And then the company changed the manuals on the basis of this suit just in case there were any other complete morons out there who thought that you could put it on cruise control and make yourself a sandwich in the back. Yeah. So in honor of the Stella Awards, our geek culture for this week, we have good old Weird Al with his song, I'll Sue Ya. Take it away, Weird Al.
Bell, 'cause I ain't on my toes. I sued Dell Computers because I took a bath with my laptop. Now it doesn't work. I sued Fruit of the Loom because when I wear the tidy whities on my head, I look like a jerk. I sued Verizon because I get all the press anytime my cell phone is roaming. I sued Colorado because, you know, I think it looks a little bit too much like Wyoming. I sued Neiman Marcus because they put up their Christmas decorations way out of season. I sued Ben Affleck. Oh, do I even need a reason? Oh, if I sprain my ankle while I'm robbing your place. If I hurt my knuckles when I punch you in the face. I'm gonna sue, sue, yes I'm gonna sue. Sue, sue, yeah that's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna sue, sue, yes I'm gonna sue. Sue, sue, that's right, I'm gonna sue you. All your money, I'll sue ya. If you even look at me funny, I'll sue ya. I'll take all your money, I'll sue ya. If you even look at me funny, I'll sue ya. I'll take all your money, I'll sue ya. If you even look at me funny, I'll sue ya. I'll take all your money, I'll sue ya. If you even look at me funny, I'll sue ya. I'll sue ya. What y'all think of that? I'll sue ya.
Doesn't that just capture the essence of the Stella Awards? I think it does. You gotta love Weird Al. Oh well. Anyway, enough of that. Let's look at the blog. The blog, you say. Yes, the blog that we all know is Dr. Bill, the Computer Curmudgeon, the blog. And in fact, it is at thecomputercurmudgeon.com. Now, that is, of course, CHECOMPUTERCURMUDGEON.com. I just love that, don't you? That's just so cool. CHECOMPUTERCURMUDGEON.com. Anyway, that's the address. That's where we are on the web, which is, of course, the World Wide Web. And that's www.thecomputercurmudgeon.com. Now, I would encourage you to go there, because if you go there, you will find a very interesting, strange, unique, and informative program called The Computer Curmudgeon, the Web TV IPTV show. There's links there to our previous episodes of DrBill.TV. Now, I figure DrBill.TV is easier to remember than thecomputercurmudgeon.com. And certainly, DrBill.TV is easier to remember than TheComputerCurmudgeon.com. Yes. So there you go. Now, let's also remember,
this is the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here.
Yes, I should let it finish. Let's do that again. It's not playing. Oh, I didn't hit the right button.
This is the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here.
If it's tech, it's right here. Particularly when you press the right button. Yeah. Okay. Let's look at the blog, shall we? Where we left off last week, starting with the next entry, how to install and use VirtualBox on Ubuntu. Ubuntu Linux is very popular, and there are a lot of great how-tos and tutorials out there for it. This particular one is really good because we just talked about VirtualBox last week. It was our Geek Software of the Week last week. And this tells you exactly how to set it up and use it. Now, I'm not going to go into the whole thing, because there's a link in the blog that we just talked about, thecomputercurmudgeon.com, that will take you to that how-to, and you can find out how to set it up, and I'd encourage you to do that. Now, Geek Software of the Week for this week, which, by the way, is, today is January the 27th of 2007, as I record this. This would be podcast number 73 and netcast number 4 for those of you that are keeping score. I know you're out there keeping score. I know. Yeah. As I was saying before I was so rudely interrupted by my technology. Oh, this has been a very frustrating podcast and netcast to record because guess what? I had technical issues in the middle of doing the video netcast, and that messed me up. I ended up doing the latter part of the netcast twice, and it still didn't come out correctly. The audio was all messed up. I'm just, a mite frustrated, but that's okay. That's okay. We'll go over it one more time. Because you haven't heard it yet. Alright, I was just about to say that the Geek Software of the Week this week is Super. Now that's not just the fact that it's really good. That's also its name. Its name is Super. And so, it's a very appropriate name as well because basically what happened last week when I was doing the video netcast, I had occasion to want to put a Weird Al video in to the netcast, like I did this week, as a matter of fact. But I didn't want to video the screen of my notebook again and have all that poor quality. So I thought, man, there needs to be a way that I can capture the video and then somehow convert it into a format that I can pull into my video editor and make it part of the netcast. And I thought, you know, there might be something on the World Wide Web. It's kind of good about those kinds of things. So I went to Google. And I Googled what I was looking for, and sure enough, I came across this software, which is 100% free. That's good. And it does what I want it to do. And that's good. So there you go. Basically, what it allows you to do is convert any type of video to any other type of video, pretty much. The major types are supported. And it doesn't, now this is the good part, it doesn't require searching the web, combing the web, looking for all kinds of different codecs. A codec is a coder decoder. And that particular type of software is something that hasn't been readily available because there's just so many different kinds of codecs out there. And what Super does is it bundles all the codecs together into itself, and you don't have to find all these codecs. So that's pretty awesome. It'll do both video and audio. So you can convert back and forth between different kinds, and that pretty much rocks. So I'd encourage you to check it out. Now, to solve my problem, I needed two pieces of software, so I went ahead and put a link to both of them in the entry in the blog. One is Super, of course, the video audio converter we just talked about. The other is the Firefox Video Downloader. Now, that's a plug-in that you can get for Firefox, and whenever you see a video on the web that you like from most of the common sites, you know, like YouTube or Google Video or MySpace or any of these places, you can use the tool that it installs in Firefox to click on it, and the video that is on that page, it will give you links for it, and then you can use the link to save it. And of course, in the case of the one that I was after, it was a Flash video, so it was an FLV file. Save that FLV file, then use Super to convert it to an AVI, pull the AVI, or actually I think I converted it to an MP4, pull the MP4 file into my video editing software, and voila, you have the ability to include other people's video in your own video. Kind of a mashup thing, you know, it's a real popular Web 2.0 term, mashup. It sounds kind of messy, but it's okay. Alright, next item, densest chip ever made. Now, imagine, if you will, a computer chip that is as small as a human white blood cell. Dude, that's pretty doggone small. But it has a capacity of 160,000 bits of information. That makes it the densest chip ever made. Now, what good is that going to be? Well, it means things are going to get smaller, things are going to get more powerful, And I like that part. Pretty cool stuff. Next item. Now, this one is an interesting item for the doctor because you know that I'm not a huge, shall we say, Microsoft fan. Right? You know that Microsoft and I, don't always see eye to eye, shall we say? Well, as it turns out, Vista is coming out January the 30th, really soon now. And by coming out, I mean actually you can go purchase it. You know, it's been out, you know. People have been able to get their hands on it, but I'm talking about where you can go walk into a store and actually purchase a copy. Now, the problem with that is there's a lot of different versions of Vista, all the way up to Ultimate Vista. Now, Ultimate Vista has all the various features that Vista offers. Now, you see, I'm one of those kind of guys that if I'm going to get a piece of software or an operating system, I want the whole thing. I don't want a dumbed-down version. So, Ultimate is the one, of course, that I personally would be the most interested in. But Microsoft was saying it was going to cost $350+. I was like, dude, you can buy a computer for that. So I was not very thrilled. However, I got to looking around, and here's the best prices I have found. Now, there may be better. I don't know if you know of others. Send them to me. I'd be interested. But the best prices I have found is from a company called Newegg. Newegg.com. And I have a link in the blog to those prices. And Ultimate Edition of Vista is $199. Whoa, that's pretty doggone good. Now, am I going to rush out and get a copy of Vista? Probably not rush out and get one. But, you know, the doctor, he's just this geeky kind of guy, and ultimately, he'll probably end up with one, you know? But here's the thing. You gotta have the right hardware. It won't run on most computers that you're using today, lest you're a big-time geek that has already bought the latest, greatest, hottest, coolest? Oh, well, anyway, hardware that is out there. Now, in order to help in that regard, I have a link to Microsoft's site for Vista hardware planning. So if you're planning on getting Ultimate, dude, prepare yourself because you're going to need at least a 2 gigahertz processor. At least, now I'm talking about for best performance, 2 gig of memory, 250 gig hard drive, and a video card that would smoke most video games. Really hot card. That's what you're going to need to get the best performance out of Vista Ultimate Edition. Okay, next item, a how-to. A how-to is, you guessed it, how to do something. A how-to on how to install network monitoring tools in Ubuntu. I like Ubuntu. Just saying it makes you feel powerful. Ubuntu. Anyway, don't ask me. I don't know. Anyway, point is there's all kinds of different network traffic analyzers and bandwidth monitors and usage monitors and statistics gatherers and all of these tools that you can put on Linux, and the how-to goes into great detail on exactly how to do it. Next and last item. There is a new zero-day attack on Microsoft Word. That basically means, you know what zero-day means. It means nobody's had a chance to come up with a patch yet. Okay, it means it's out there in the wild and people are using it to attack systems and nobody can defend against it because it just rips through your defenses because there's just nothing available yet to stop it or to patch it. Not good. Okay, so if you're using Microsoft Word, my advice to you is stop it. Just don't do it. Friends don't let friends use Microsoft products. Now, anyway, I'm getting a little out there. Point is, it is safer to use OpenOffice.org. You can open the same Word documents with it. You can, you know, write Word documents. You can save it as a Word document in OpenOffice. And you don't run the risk of being exposed to this heinous zero-day attack that is coming out, has come out, and is now out in the wild. It allows successful code execution attacks against users of Windows 2000, Windows 95, Windows 98, Windows ME, Windows NT, Windows Server 2003, and Windows XP. Pretty much Windows. Okay? So, if you're running Windows, and you're running Office and Word, dude, you're wide open. I don't care if you've patched up the wazoo. You are wide open, because that's just the way it is with Microsoft. I'm sure they'll come out with a patch soon, and when they do, I'll let you know. But until then, it's just not a good thing to be with the Microsoft. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Well, it's just about that time. There's that music. Next week, I'll get it together on the video side of things, you know, one way or another. Till then, remember that the doctor is out of here.